live and local. It's Styles and Watkins. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking up to 2 p.m. Kyle Ledbetter behind the glass, doing a great job as always. And NBA All-Star voting is now open. So vote for your favorite king if you want to see them in the All-Star game. And we are joined by Chris Biederman of the Candlestick Chronicles and the Sacramento Bee. Chris Biederman, thank you for joining us.
Of course. How are you guys doing?
We're great. Good, man. We're good. Let's start here with the Kings and their dismantling of the Wizards, who aren't very good anyway. Anything to take away from that? And would you say that we should put the trade machine away for the next couple weeks?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, my whole thing with the trade machine and sort of the talk has been, are the Kings going to be able to match what these teams are going to be asking for some potential upgrades, right? Like, mm-hmm. if you look at the Kings, while they do have some movable contracts, whether it's Harrison Barnes or Kevin Huerter, I don't know how appealing those guys are going to be to another team when, you know, there's going to be a long line of potential suitors for somebody like Pascal Siakam and OG Anunoby. And it's pretty clear, I think, even before the last two games when Keegan Murray's gotten red hot, that the Kings were never really in a position where they felt like they would trade Keegan Murray. So, yeah, I think there's certainly value in Sacramento keeping this core together and trying to see if Keegan can continue improving, if some of the other guys can continue improving. But yeah, like they to me are, they can compete with just about anybody in the West. Night in and night out, is the consistency is really the thing. And as good as it was for them to put up that offensive performance against the Wizards last night, you heard De'Aaron Fox talking about it too. Like, they still allowed the 23rd ranked offense in Washington to shoot over 50%. Right. Yeah. And I know the Kings sort of fall into this trap sometimes, particularly at home, where they just feel like a run is coming offensively at any point. And that certainly happened in the third quarter. But for them to get to that next level, and Mike Brown talks about this all the time, it's about intensity, physicality on the defensive end. And they have to improve that if they're going to win in the playoffs. And as good as it was to see Domantas Sabonis have a triple-double against that team with very, very little, if any, inside presence, the question for me when it comes to Sabonis, regardless of whatever regular season stats he puts up, is can he replicate it in the playoffs? And, you know, last year still happened. It should be fresh in everyone's mind. And it's a completely different game when the game changes to a postseason atmosphere and format and the way teams approach playing the Kings. So that to me is going to be a far bigger question for Sabonis than what he does on a Monday in December against one of the worst teams in the league. Mm.
Chris, I know you were around during the summer around the Kings when they were talking a lot about, especially during the California Classic, about Keegan's leap. And, you know, Luke Laux had compared the leap from year one to year two to Kawhi Leonard and all that stuff. And, you know, there's just a lot of hype around Keegan Murray and the leap that he was going to take and the impact he was going to have on this team this season. It was, you know, a slow start offensively for him. But obviously the 47 career high on Saturday. Do you feel like after that game, like, did you feel like you had to reevaluate how you kind of view Keegan's future, or was that kind of a fruition of something that you felt like, you know, the Kings had already believed in and had already kind of baked into their timeline?
Yeah, it felt like to me, and we've seen this all the time, right? Like in the NBA, sometimes the second season can be a little bit more difficult than a rookie season, yeah. Particularly for somebody like Keegan, whose role has changed as dramatically as it has. Before his back injury, he was shooting 29% from three. And in the game since his returning, he's over 50%. Right. So it never felt like, given how good of a shooter we know Keegan Murray right. to be, it never felt like he was going to shoot 29% over the entire season. The question was, you know, would that efficiency come and would he still be able to handle the increased load defensively and the playmaking load offensively after being mostly a spot up shooter last year? And I think the answer is going to be yes. Right. Like, we're not even at Christmas yet. Right. And so Keegan Murray's numbers are climbing back up to what we would expect them to be. So for me, like, the shooting slump that Keegan went in to start the season never really felt like something to be all that concerning, but I think it's an indicator that, like, if Keegan Murray plays well and shoots well, the Kings are going to be really, really difficult to beat. And if Keegan Murray doesn't, then the Kings are going to be a heck of a lot easier to beat, right? Just I think it's as simple as that. Like, they can score with anybody when Keegan Murray is going like he has been going the last few games. So to me, that's just a huge barometer for where the Kings are at, and not to put too much pressure on them, but, like, you know, if Keegan Murray does that in the playoffs, then the Kings are going to be able to win a round or two, or maybe even three, right? So if not, then the Kings are going to have a really hard time. So there's a lot on Keegan Murray's shoulders in terms of that. But no, like, the early season shooting slump never really bothered me in terms of, like, what I thought his long-term future would look like. I still think he has a ceiling of an all-star player and somebody who could be in that all-NBA discussion down the line. But for now, to see him adjust and to see him come out of that shooting slump is got to be really encouraging.
Talking to Chris Biederman of the Candlestick Chronicles in the Sacramento Bee, switching over to the Niners, Chris, who got an early Christmas present last night with the Seahawks taking down the Eagles. Before we get into what this means, and I know Chris has some questions about the Ravens game. What do you think? I'm just sitting here watching this game, man, and I'm just trying to think to myself, and I know the Cardinals scored a little bit more than the Niners would have liked, but what is the Niners' biggest weakness, number one? And number two, does it even matter? Does it even matter? I'm thinking, okay, well, it was the nickel cornerback, and now the secondary is very strong. And then it was, we didn't know about Brock Purdy, now we know about Brock Purdy. Do they even have any weaknesses right now? And they face the Ravens. The Ravens lose their stud running back in Keaton Mitchell. So I don't know, man. Is there anything that even worries you about this Niners team besides injury?
Not really. I mean, look at, yeah, I think it's injury, right? If Deebo Samuel has to miss more time, if Trent Williams ever has to miss more time, like, and you can say that about any team. So, but, like, there's some historic numbers being thrown out there. If you guys follow DVOA, this is, like, one of the best teams in history. It's the best team from a DVOA perspective in 49ers history, which is saying something, right? There were some dominant teams in the 80s and 90s. And I think Aaron Schatz, who came on our podcast recently, had said that this is the best team from a DVOA perspective this late in the season since, I think, 2005 or something like that. So this is a historically good team. And you look at the collection of talent and the quarterback play and the defense, like, it's just extremely well-rounded. And you could make a case that, the 49ers interior of the offensive line was problematic earlier in the season. It feels like they've shored that up. I don't know if John Feliciano is going to stay the starter, but he's played at a pretty high level since coming in for Spencer Burford, who's been out with injury recently. I still have questions, like, if the 49ers are down 14 points in the fourth quarter and they have to do the drop back game, like, can the offensive line hold up against a really good pass rush when the defense knows the 49ers have to pass and throw the ball downfield? Mm-hmm. But to this point, like, the Niners are just too good to fall behind by multiple scores, right, and be in that position. So, there are questions like, can they win this type of game if the game script goes another way? They're just too good. Like, they avoid getting into those scenarios, so it might not even matter. So at this point, with the way Brock Purdy's playing and all the numbers are pointing to him being an MVP, I do think Monday's game, particularly against Lamar Jackson, can go a long way towards helping him from a narrative perspective if he outplays Lamar. We've seen Brock Purdy, frankly, outplay a lot of the guys who are in that MVP discussion, maybe with the exception of Joe Burrow, in that Cincinnati game before Burrow got hurt. But I don't know. Like, I don't know what the 49ers' weakness is. You could say health, but I think you could say that about any team in the league. So I think this is probably the most well-rounded 49ers team we've seen under Kyle Shanahan, and it might be the most well-rounded 49ers team we've seen since they last won a Super Bowl in 1994-95.
On that note, I saw a tweet the other day that pretty much outlined, just all the statistics that are, like, the individual numbers. I think Brock's a touchdown away from 30. He's 200 yards away from 4,000. Debo's almost got 1,000 scrimmage yards. Kittle's almost at 1,000 receiving yards. Ayuk's already at 1,000. McCaffrey's 3 touchdowns away from Jerry Rice's record for touchdowns in a season. Where are you putting this offense all time? Is this the best 49er, in the 49er scope of things, franchise-wise, is this the best offense you've seen? Would you put this in the category of best 49ers offenses, period? Where are you with where this offense stacks?
You know, I think it's probably the most well-rounded and balanced offense the 49ers have ever had, right? Like, as good as Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel are, you wouldn't never say that either of those guys are as good as Jerry Rice, right? Not. But Jerry Rice never had somebody like Christian McCaffrey flanking him, or George Kittle flanking him, or even, you know, John Taylor was good, but he wasn't as good as Debo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk, right? So I think in terms of the balance this offense has, the multitude of ways they can beat you, I think this is the best offense that the 49ers have had in their history. I wouldn't say Brock Purdy, you know, obviously he has a long way to go. If he continues playing like this every year, then maybe we can have the discussion about, you know, him comparing him to Joe Montana and Steve Young. But just from this season and the numbers that he's putting up, it's as good as any MVP season we've seen. You know, put his numbers, just his pure numbers against any MVP of the last 10 years, and they compare pretty favorably, right? And so, you know, I just, with the way Kyle Shanahan's calling plays, with the, you know, Trent Williams is probably the best offensive lineman the 49ers have had in their history. I think that's fair to say. You can make a case that Christian McCaffrey is the best running back the 49ers have had in their history. You can make the same case for George Kittle at tight end. So they might not have a Jerry Rice, but they have overall a better complement of weapons. And with Kyle Shanahan calling the plays, this is like Bill Walsh type stuff. Like, this is an evolved version of Bill Walsh's offense. So I think you can absolutely put this team in the conversation with any of the best 49ers offense in their history, which is saying a lot, because this is a pretty historic franchise, particularly when it comes to the offensive side.
Chris Biederman, Candlestick Chronicles in the Sacramento Bee. Chris, thank you as always. We will talk to you again next week. And let's be honest, we'll probably be talking about another Niners W.
But yeah, I mean, that Monday's game is going to be a really fun one in terms of, like, okay, how legit is this looking? And if they play Baltimore like they have all these other teams, and it's hard not to get excited about what the 49ers can be when it comes to winning the Super Bowl.
There you go, Chris. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll talk to you soon.
Likewise, man.
All righty. That was Chris Biederman of the Candlestick Chronicles in the Sacramento Bee. We got to get to a break. When we get back, more Niners talk. Debo says they aren't playing up to their full potential. Are they just messing with us now? Really? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacramento has a new tag team in the midday. It's Styles and Watkins on Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking up to 2 p.m. Thank you to Chris Biederman for joining us of the Candlestick Chronicles and the Sacramento Bee, talking Kings and Niners. He just does it all.
Many
and
hats.
Basically, Chris Biederman said there are no weaknesses with the Niners.
He's not wrong.
Because saying injury, that's like saying your favorite subject in school is PE.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
It just, that doesn't count.
He also said they're the best football team since 2005. I heard it. According to GBLA.
You got to get this, man. And I have a buddy who continues to say, he is a Niner fan, but he continues to say, I mean, the playoffs, they're going to be different, and they're going to be this, and there's going to be that. I just don't see it unless there is some type of injury. But with this team as presently constructed, who is going to stop them? Chris, I get surprised when they punt.
No, for sure.
That was the last time they punted since Thanksgiving or something insane like that, when they had to punt this past weekend.
I feel like, to Chris's point, though, the only thing that still would make me nervous is, and I was even thinking about it, that's sad that in the morning, one of my first 10 thoughts is, you know, how could the 49ers get eliminated from the playoffs? But here we are. it's if they get down. And Biederman put 14 in the fourth. To me, if they're down 14 in the fourth, that game is over. I just haven't seen that. But even if it's just, they start the game down 10-0 at the end of the first quarter. Like, I still think about that Eagles game and how differently that could have gone. We've got some you know, colorful glasses from that game because of the last three quarters, but that first quarter was a little dicey, okay? Niners couldn't get anything going. I think that was the last time they punted. I'm pretty sure they punted the first two drives of that game, and the Eagles didn't capitalize. They kicked... they tried to kick two. Yes, they made both field goals.
They made both, but it was 6-0 at the end of the first.
6-0 could have been 10-0, you could argue. I mean, obviously, if they convert, it could be 14-0 at that point. That's where it's, you know, and the Niners are going to have the benefit at least of hopefully being at home for the playoffs, but going down 10-0 is still the thing that we have not seen this Niners team do this season. And that was and has been a major question since the start of the year. Now, again, of course, there is the counter, and everybody's totally right to say it because it hasn't happened yet. Maybe it just will continue to not happen. But if you are saying what is the formula or how could they lose, to me, it's by putting them in a situation that they just haven't prepared for or haven't had to execute so far this season.
Well, we've said the same thing about the Eagles, I feel like, last season.
Oh, definitely. No, and that's the thing. It might not come to fruition, but if you're saying it, it's just not – that's not impossible to me.
If you go back 4 years ago, that's how the Lamar Jackson Ravens lost in the playoffs after they won 12 regular season games in a row.
But that was the Titans?
Yep.
Yeah, it was
they missed a fourth down conversion, Titans scored a touchdown, missed a fourth down conversion, Titans scored a touchdown, and then they sat on the lead.
Yeah. And I know they ended up coming back from it, but let's not forget, you remember those Chiefs comebacks that they had to execute? Even in the wild card, I think they were down 24-0 on the Texans.
They scored 52 points in three quarters.
You just never know. Like you never know. Like, especially any given Sunday, man, like it's especially in playoffs, like just the level of focus and attention to detail. If the Niners do get a first-round bye, there's always the conversation of, well, is that actually good for you because that other team's got tons of momentum?
We'll have to have that convo.
Those could all just be narratives and things for you and me to talk about, and they might not even truly matter. But, you know, I'm not trying to put fear out there to 49er fandom, but I'm just saying it might look like it's going to be the easiest path that it's ever been. But, you know, even then, that's when life can come and really surprise you.
So Chris Biederman talked a lot about DVOA, and I wanted to explain it for anybody who might not know. This is from FTNFantasy.com, the ultra short version of DVOA by Aaron Schatz, who Chris Biederman brought up. DVOA measures a team's efficiency by comparing success on every single play to a league average based on situation and opponent.
Yes.
So it's supposed to be the most realistic stat that includes the Cardinals are trash, this team is good, versus just pure numbers.
It's
so,
the stat I go to all the time for football analysis.
I was going to say,
good.
It's like the big, I say this lovingly, it's the big football nerd stat, honestly. Like, that's the one that they're going to throw out there, and that's just like the end-all, be-all.
And me, a football nerd, loves this stat.
Exactly. It's because it's a great stat.
Exactly. Let's hear from Debo as we talk about how the Niners are playing at such a high level. Debo thinks that they can crank it up a notch.
You know, as we continue to stack these days, stack these games, stack these wins, we're still not playing to our best potential and still leaving stuff out there on the field. And that's things that neither you know or people out there know. It's just like within the building, like things that we know we have to work on for. It's like just little things of one block here with Spring Christian free probably like 3-4 more times, or a block here with a got Brock a little bit more time in the pocket to throw another ball. It's just like little things like that.
Yeah. I mean, you have to look for something.
Course,
and these guys are on
That's
a mission.
What I was gonna say.
That's why when we talk about these revenge tours, as we get into a little bit of some Seahawks and Eagles talk, and you called them the Seagulls yesterday. That's what the Eagles look like at the end. They look like the Seagulls. As we think about the Niners and these revenge tours, right? The Niners had a revenge tour in a completely different way. They felt like they didn't get a true shot at the NFC crown when Brock Purdy went down. So they were raring to go. The Eagles, you had your opportunity. You got to the Super Bowl. And I saw something on an Eagles Reddit page yesterday as it got reposted on Eagles Twitter, whatever, and it said, man, the Niners didn't have their QB in Philly last. And I'm going to tell Kyle Draper this. We do crossover. The Niners didn't have their QB, and we were able to beat them. We really should have got it done in this past Super Bowl because the Niners look like they're going to be running the NFC for the next 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting way of looking at it for sure. I mean, especially when you consider, at the very least, this thing's going to continue on to next year, too.
That says as much about the Eagles as it does about the Niners. Because, look, people thought I was a Brock Purdy hater for wanting to see more of Brock Purdy. What people didn't listen to was me saying, I know they had to pay Jalen Hurts, but are we sure Jalen Hurts is that dude?
Worth getting paid, right.
He had 1 year.
Yeah.
1 year and
one and a half. Yeah.
One and a half. Yeah. Right. But playing like this, though. Yeah. Right. I know they made the playoffs.
Yeah. He played really well. Like yeah. that second half.
One, so one and a half, in, basically, yeah. essentially Brock now. Right.
Yes.
Or less
no,
than,
yes.
Yeah. But still yeah, more than there. Brock. Right. Still more than Brock.
Barely. Yeah.
You felt good about it. You more than you felt good about it. You didn't in this day and age, you don't really have a choice.
Yeah.
These guys are running four plays. Somebody I saw they are getting absolutely roasted. Okay. I saw something. It felt like me. I told you how I don't really game. When I played Madden, I had four options. I did the yeah. slant, the go, the XYZ, the yeah. go route. Everybody goes.
And a read option, maybe.
And a read option. Yeah. And those are the four plays that the Eagles run.
And the tush push.
And the tush push. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. So it says as much about the Eagles as it does. The Eagles are done. They're done. Okay,
you're calling it?
I'm calling it
now.
Time
of death right now?
And Kyle, when we come back, we can hear from Jalen, his sound about, what was he even saying? He was saying.
He was sick yesterday, man.
Well, we aren't sick. Committed enough.
Please, we aren't committed enough. And by the way, Jalen, I don't believe shook hands, which I don't necessarily care about. I don't
right.
know if he ended up finding
right,
Drew Lock.
Right.
But Drew Lock said, Drew Lock was feeling himself yesterday.
Was.
And Drew Lock says, I guess he's sick.
Yeah.
He said that, and he knew where the camera was all
yeah.
day long.
Yes,
and right. I would do the same thing. I can't even lie.
Hit Drew him with Lock, the LeBron and D Wade in the finals when they were making fun of Dirk's.
Yeah. No, that's literally it. He's yeah. like, I guess he's sick.
Yeah.
I guess he's sick.
He ain't got time to meet the winning quarterback.
You were talking
midfield.
About running the same four plays over and over again. The last two games, the Dallas and the Seattle game. Non-A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, and Dallas Goedert receivers have a combined 3 catches for 6 yards.
Oof.
See, but that's interesting to me because are we sure you need more than 3? That doesn't really move me the same way.
They've scored 27 points in those two games.
No, I know, but who is it? Watkins, right? They have a couple
Cousin
other
Quez.
Guys.
Yeah. I call him Cousin
Their
Quez.
Leading receiver is Julio Jones with 1 catch and 6 yards.
I don't know. How many? Okay, if you look at the Bengals, they have Tyler Boyd.
Yeah.
They have Jamar Chase,
yep.
right? They have T. Higgins.
Yep.
Anything more than – how many guys actually have more than
when
3
Jalen
legit
Hurts,
options?
When Jalen Hurts starts
not
throwing
the running back.
Picks, that's when it becomes predictable. It's like you know it's going to one of these two guys and maybe Goddard. But like – that's why I think the interceptions are a problem, because Jalen Hurts is not an accurate quarterback at all.
So they need. So what you're telling me is that Juwan Jennings will be an Eagle next season.
They could use him. They could use him.
Third and Juwan. They just keep swapping.
Maybe just throw
players.
To a running back every
yeah, that's
now and
what
again.
I was
throw
I was
to a
like,
running back.
Yeah, and that and that's funny because coming out of college, DeAndre Swift, that was kind of his thing.
Yeah,
he was one of those
yeah,
scat
Philip
back
Gainwell.
Type guys.
Gainwell's pretty good.
Gainwell as well. So the Eagles are cooked. They're done. I'm calling it now. And I will tell Kyle Draper that when he walks in at 1:45. They're
he's
done.
He's going to have something for you.
No, they're
oh,
done. Allen! Oh,
he was pretty dejected
Allen.
After the Cowboys
he gonna
loss.
Kick. They, Allen, they're not going to let you in fit back in Philly. They're not going to let you on the plane. They're not going to let you on the plane.
You're
going to
start
I'm
disrespecting
now,
your favorite. Cheese
the Seahawks, and people are saying, oh, did the Niners break the Eagles? No, they didn't.
No.
The Eagles went to a Super Bowl, so they had a high level of success. So they lost coordinators.
Yeah.
They lost players, and they weren't able to get it done.
They also lost a lot of style this year.
And they lost a lot of style. It, right, exactly.
They have Matt Patricia calling plays.
Oh, I heard that.
And we did
oh
this we did this last week. How often do teams that, that lost
the
Super Bowl
the
go back, right?
Almost
hardly
never.
Never.
Almost
so
never.
Everybody should have saw this coming, and you have a Niners team who feel like we were supposed to be there.
Right.
We were supposed to be there. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back continuing to talk Niners and Kings, we will break down the importance of Keegan Murray and Domantas Sabonis, and we will close the loop on the lowly Wizards. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local, it's Styles and Watkins. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
We didn't execute. I don't think we're committed enough. You know, just got to turn it around. You know, it's a challenge that we have to embrace. Just continue to see it through.
There is no way, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, there is no way that this Eagles team is going to be able to, they could still win the NFC East, but there's no way, so I guess that might be the only place, I guess they would only have to travel to the Niners, right?
Yeah,
if they win the NFC East, if they win the NFC East, they ain't coming to Santa Clara and winning. There is no way.
I wish I had your confidence.
There's no way.
Yeah, I think they would be like an 8.5-point favorite in that game.
Really?
Yeah. Who would you give a better shot to?
I just can never say never in football. I just can't. Like, it, things can happen. Absolutely.
I'm saying Niners are healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I still think anything can happen.
Look, the way things are going for the Eagles right now, let's say they lose the division, they get the 5 seed, let's say. Mm-hmm. Are you certain that they're going to go into Tampa and beat Baker Mayfield's Bucks? Are you certain about it?
If they get the 5 seed, I'm not even wasting my breath talking about the Eagles anymore. The only way I talk about the Eagles anymore is if they win the NFC East.
Okay.
That's it. And now we can talk about the Cowboys, who are fraudulent in their own right.
Well, now, that's another story.
My confidence about the Niners
does the best team win in football? That's my question.
That's a good question. Last season, I would say that were the Eagles better than the Chiefs? Maybe, probably. Maybe.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Before that?
I'd say so, yeah.
Who was that? Before that?
Was that Tom? I can't remember. I can't remember how these Super Bowls go these days. I think it was
the Tampa Bay Bucks won in the 2020 season. So the Super Bowls recently have gone Kansas City, Rams, Tampa Bay, Kansas City. Before that was Patriots, Eagles,
Rams. 2022. Why does that feel so much longer?
It feels so long ago.
Because that was kind of a lost season.
It was.
Because
Matt Stafford wins the Super Bowl, right?
The thing people remember from that season is that Buffalo-Kansas City 13 seconds game, and neither team made the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right.
So going from 2020, Kansas City beats San Francisco. Were they the best team in the league?
Chiefs,
probably.
I'd probably say
they had Tyreek fully loaded. Yeah. Tampa Bay beats Kansas City. Was Tampa Bay the best team?
I would say so. I would say so. Their defense was ridiculous. Yeah. And Brady threw for like 4,000.
Rams beat the Bengals. Were they the best team?
I guess.
So the Rams, according to DVOA, were 5th in the league that year that they won the Super Bowl.
In total defense? Because I know there's offense and defense.
Who was one?
One was Dallas that year.
Okay, see.
And then
last season, the Chiefs beat the Eagles. I think the Eagles might have actually been better than the Chiefs.
Which is why it seems like at the very least they make the dance. The best team will usually at least make it to the Super Bowl for the most part. I mean that Bengals Rams year maybe not, but it feels like for the most part. I'm just saying I'm not saying there's 100%. I'm not saying there's no way X team can beat Y team. I feel like especially come playoff time, I just feel like weird things happen sometimes. And you know, like, you never know. Like, what the Chiefs had, you know, I'm not, the 49ers, I think, have had enough quarterback issues in the playoffs. But, like, you know, Chad Henne ended up playing a pretty big role for the Chiefs in their run last year. So, you know, I just mean anything can happen.
So, over the last 12 seasons, I'm just going off DVOA because that's what I have in front of me. Over the last 12 seasons, only 3 times has the number one team in DVOA won the Super Bowl. It was last year, Kansas City. It was the Legion of Boom Seahawks, and it was the Patriots 28-3 Super Bowl. It's the only time that the number one team in DVOA won the Super Bowl.
Which the Niners are right now.
Yeah, the Bucks of 2020 were number 2 at least.
Looks like it's going to be the 4th. I'm telling you, man.
I mean, it should be theirs 100%. Like, I mean, if you're looking at the landscape, I think I said it yesterday, but like the Niners are the only great team out there.
Brock doesn't miss throws, and these dudes are open. They're open.
Oh, for sure.
They're open.
But what if they're not? And it just takes, that's the thing about football, is it just takes 1 week. It just takes 1 week of being off. It just takes one bad throw. It takes one off. I mean, I saw this stat the other day. I think it might have been David Lombardi who put the Niners the last 3 weeks have missed more tackles than they had like all season long. They're now in double-digit missed tackles the last 3 straight weeks. Like, I don't like things like that. Getting tired. Those things can play into effect.
I'll give you this, and we asked Chris Biederman, Candlestick Chronicles, the weakness, and one thing that escaped my mind because it didn't come back to bite them is special teams.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do with Ronnie Bell. They're gonna have to put Debo back there.
Yeah.
There were a couple times, a fumble that ended up not being a fumble, a pick that ended up not being a pick.
Do you think that was a fumble? That was a weird play on Saturday, on Sunday, where it was like his forearm. They were trying to say if his forearm didn't hit, then it wasn't a fumble. But if it was just his wrist hit, then it was like
whatever the call was. I think it wasn't going to get changed.
Sure.
So you know. Yeah, now we wait. And I'm mad. Yeah. I'm mad that Keaton Mitchell's out. First of all, I feel bad for the kid because he was balling.
Yeah.
Second of all, Lamar already lost Mark Andrews.
Right.
They just continue to lose pieces. And that's another part of this, too. Every other team is a bit broken in some way. I know the Niners aren't 100% healthy, but they got the Avengers at the offensive positions, and they got Trent Williams, right, who should be part of the Avengers, to be completely honest with you. Definitely he could be the Hulk or whatever it is. So that's the other part of this. The Chiefs' inability to have a functional receiver, right?
Yep.
The Ravens can't keep guys on the field, which I feel like the Ravens can never keep guys on the field.
I still don't believe in the Ravens either. I'm just
I really wanted Ravens this game. Yeah. I wanted this game so bad, and we'll see. I mean, I probably would have still picked the Niners anyway, but without Mitchell out, another weapon for Lamar, the Niners are going to take care of business. Yeah. I think Brock Purdy's going to sew up the MVP. His odds are already ridiculous. They're at minus 150. So Brock Purdy, he's going to get MVP. And then to go back to the NFC, the Lions can't stop a cold if they had Kleenex in their hand, right?
Yeah,
they can't stop anything. Lions. You have the Eagles, who we just talked about. Right. The Cowboys, who this was the opportunity for the Cowboys to show they aren't fraudulent. Turns out they are.
Whoops.
So it's just as much about the field as it is about the Niners for me.
Sure. No, absolutely. I mean, the field, because to your point, like the field does look about as weak as it's looked. I can't even remember the last time it's felt like a team just was so head and shoulders above everybody else. Like, I mean, because again, it doesn't even feel like there's another team that's at the Niners tier. Like, it feels like the Niners are in a tier by themselves. And then there is just a ton of scrappy teams that, again, maybe on their best week could contest with being in that tier, but for the most part just have so much inconsistency that you can't really ever believe
and it. This is years and years, and thank you to CK916 on the sack chat. It did get changed. I was in the car. I had my Red Zone playing in the car as I was driving back from brunch, had the family come up. So it did get changed, which was a little bit surprising for me, and a lucky break for the Niners. So stuff like that goes in a different direction. Who knows what happens there? But you got to think, this is years and years and years of the Niners getting so close. You got to a lot. This core, most of this core, got to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They thought they could take care of business. Didn't take care of business. NFC Championship after NFC Championship. Jimmy Garoppolo or whoever it is just couldn't get. Let's not, you know, Jaquaski Tart and not catching the interception. All these things have culminated to this. And that is something that DVOA can't measure. That is something that no stat can measure. But they're tired, okay? You talk about the bridesmaid. I seen my best friend get married. I've seen my sister get married.
Right.
I see my little cousin who's 5 years younger than me get married. It's my time. I want to walk down the aisle. And that's what the Niners are saying.
Sounds like a lot of pressure.
Come on. Well, we know what pressure does.
Hey, it makes diamonds.
It's going to.
Sometimes
it makes MVPs.
Completely crumble something,
too. It makes MV Purdy's. That's what it makes.
I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm just saying that there is weird. And I'm not even. The Niners, to me, just feel like they should do it. It's just stranger things have happened. That's just where I'm getting at.
916-339-1140. You want to be a part of the conversation. 510 says the field looked like nobody had a chance when the Patriots went into the playoffs undefeated.
Yeah. Right. And nobody also would have said that the Giants were going to win those games.
Well, so think about the last time the Niners were in the Super Bowl in 2019. Like, that Packers team that they blew out in the NFC Championship game is probably better than any team in the NFC this year. So I'm thinking that this year might actually be more wide open than any of the years in the recent Niners regime.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so. In terms of like the run being the easiest.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like
I can't remember. They played Kirk Cousins Vikings in the divisional
round. They sure did. Yeah, that was not a problem for the Niners.
Yeah, the Vikings were just happy to be there.
They sure were.
They were happy to beat the
Saints. They beat the Saints, exactly.
Which, by the way, fun fact, the 6th seed in the NFC has beaten the 3 seed 6 years in a row in the playoffs.
That helps. That helps the Niners. I'm just saying.
So maybe if they get the 1 seed, they'll be playing against the Josh Dobbs Vikings.
Oh, we don't want to see. Well, I don't know.
Definitely.
Or Nick Mullins or Jaren Hall.
All right.
Yikes.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, we're going back over to the Beam team and the Kings. Have your expectations for the Kings changed? And how important are the next 3 games? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacramento has a new tag team in the midday. It's Styles and Watkins on Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. That's where we're at with the Niners as we move back into Kings. We're just waiting. We're all just waiting. Are you going to get it done? Are you going to... Is the quest for 6 over? Okay.
Oh, my gosh. I hope so.
Is there going to be a parade in Santa Clara or San Jose?
How many quest for 6 shirts are out there?
Oh, they're still
out there. Where it's just like... No, I know. But how many different iterations are like, you know, the 2023 version of quest for 6?
No, they got...
2019 version of quest for 6.
No, yeah. They shut that down. Yeah. Once I think the second go-round, they didn't get it, they said, all right.
Like, guys, you can't keep
printing these
shirts.
T-shirts for Jeff Garcia saying the same thing?
Probably. They might be mad because... Yeah. We can't just go back to what we've been going back to. They got to think of something new, right? And they got FTTB, Faithful to the Bay, whatever.
That's right. I have seen
whatever that is. So they got a couple different things as we...
Something that won't age as poorly.
Well, we hope not. We hope not.
At least
we're
not rooted anywhere.
Yeah, rooted in.
It's not like they're in Santa Clara or anything.
Rooted in Santa Clara, which is the Bay. You know, I was actually talking with someone because
you were talking with Brendan, I think, weren't you?
Was it Brendan?
I think it was Brendan because he's from San Jose, and you're like, "Yeah, man, come on,
San Jose, it's not close. I mean, it's the Bay, but
yeah,
if you're."
My rule was, and is this like a share? Like, my thing is, if BART connects to it, it's the Bay.
I don't know
if San Jose.
Believe it does.
I don't know if they.
They made a new. They've been making new.
Right. I know they've been, making new extensions.
I think
and
you got to tell Cal. You got to take Caltrain.
Yeah.
Which is a different.
And that's not. That
you
is
know, no,
not
technically. BART. Yes. So they added Berryessa probably 3-4 years ago. Maybe less than that, and that is also known as the North San Jose Station. But it wasn't OG.
Yeah.
It wasn't OG, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, that's tough. I mean, that's pretty definition of borderline there. I don't know. That sounds like that's up to a Bay Area. Yeah, that's not on me, a Sacramento, a non-Bay Area.
But people
resident.
Say me, so I grew up in Concord, and Concord is the East Bay and has BART and everything like that. But some people would try to say, well, Concord.
Because you're not near water.
Exactly. And I said, all right,
water.
Enough now.
Yeah, that's
enough. This is the Bay Area, okay? I'm not leaving.
Yeah, you're not saying it's the area.
If San Jose ain't got to leave, then I'm not going nowhere. All right? I'm not going. Anywhere. 916-339-1140. Let's get out to 10, who wants to talk some Kings. What's up, 10? You're on Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
I have so much to say. One at a time, right?
One at a time.
Okay. Sacktown Sports, I have a question. You say the home of the San Francisco Niners and Kings. Why not include the SF Giants in there?
Yeah, well, that's just who we're the flagships for, so that's why we say home of, because you can hear every Niners game and every Kings game here on these airwaves.
It's more of just like a technicality.
There you go.
Yeah.
But we talk Giants, too.
Especially Allen. Allen will talk Giants.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Yeah, I'm going to get into more baseball, so let's keep that talk interesting. Go, everyone.
Thanks, Tim. Yeah, as the Giants actually did make some moves for another outfielder.
Get 10 up on some baseball game, Alex.
Yeah.
Real quick, what's the latest in
the Giants
free
are now,
agency news here?
Yeah, the Giants are now at capacity for their 40-man roster as they make another move for
They traded for somebody this morning, right?
Yeah, they traded, here you go, for T.J. Hopkins.
Sure.
And
isn't that
the
former quarterback of the Texans?
No, it's DeAndre's cousin.
Yeah, that's right. This is from the Giants 2 hours ago. The Giants and Reds made a trade this morning with outfielder T.J. Hopkins joining the Giants organization in exchange for a player to be named later, or cash considerations.
Or either one.
So the Giants are continuing to make some moves.
So in terms of impact players, who have they really added this year? I mean, I know obviously, you know, Lee was
Jung-Hoo
really
Lee is the big one. And besides that, it's been some, you know, smaller moves here, there.
Any big departures? Like, is Jock's officially gone, right?
Is Jock gone?
I don't know if he's officially gone, but I did see that there were some whispers or rumors about him being heavily linked somewhere.
He posted a video or a picture with the Fanatic, the Philly from the Phillies.
Gotcha.
And he said it's
maybe
always
it was just
better.
A recruiting pitch.
But
something.
I don't remember that being official. This is from Jeff Passan. This was yesterday. Catcher Tom Murphy's deal with the San Francisco Giants is for 2 years, $8 million with a club option for the third year that has $250,000 buyout.
Interesting.
So people are saying that he is Patrick Bailey's backup, which has essentially ended the
Joey Bart era,
which I'll be honest, I was wrong on Joey Bart.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of people were.
I think the Giants were too, right?
That's why he was drafted so high. But I was high on Joey Bart, and I wanted to hold out for Joey Bart, and it just didn't happen. He couldn't hit.
No, I mean, and do you know the latest on the Yamamoto Giants pursuit as well? I know that there was more so last week, right?
Yeah, I know the Giants still want him, and he's being called a Tim Lincecum with better command.
Wow.
That is what people are seeing.
It's looking like Yankees for him, but it's not confirmed yet.
If he goes to the Yankees, then Frankie Cardicelli is not allowed on the round table tomorrow. He can't.
I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow, but it looks like Yankees to lose. But we'll see.
Well,
I just want Frankie
ain't
to
coming
be happy.
On the show.
I just want Frankie.
No, he already got Juan Soto. I want to be happy. I want to be happy, all right?
But you ripped
it's
the
my
Giants.
Turn. It's my turn. I told you it's my turn as we begin to talk Kings as we creep to the 12 o'clock hour. Want to close the loop on the Wizards real quick because, you know, there are a lot of A's fans out here and the A's have had a rough go. Kyle will wear the sell shirts and we've had reverse boycotts and things like that. I'm not saying the Wizards need to sell the franchise, but they need to sell all their players. Jordan Poole can go. We gave up some teams yesterday.
Yep.
The Miami Heat, because Jimmy Butler, you won't mess around with that.
Yep.
The Milwaukee Bucks, you have Giannis. He's from that area. Giannis can say, hey, man, stop with this messing around. We saw flashes last night. From Jordan Poole. We saw
eight threes yesterday.
And Jordan Poole, a lot of people were joking him because of that terrible defensive effort, if you want to even call it that.
Yeah.
But I believe somebody also said
doing a lot of work.
I believe somebody also said that he had two fouls at that point, and he did not want to pick up a third. And it looked really bad because it's Jordan Poole, but it was an excuse to not play defense. Why do you already have two fouls? So either way, bad look on Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole had 28 points, like you said, eight threes. Kyle Kuzma, the Jacuzzi, he had 27 points. Besides that, Avdija is a good piece. Like you said, Gaffer could be a good piece. They are the land of misfit toys.
Yeah.
That's what the Wizards are.
Yeah.
They are Coach Carter. They are Richmond High. Blow it up. Pull a Jazz, whoever it is. Get a bunch of picks and just start over.
Yeah.
Start over.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I would go if I were them because they're not even in, like you said, they're not in a Jazz situation. They're not in an OKC Thunder situation where, you're not very good, but at least you have just an absolute war chest of picks where, you know, if you really like a prospect, maybe you can cash in some of those picks or, you know, there's at least a light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
With the Wizards, your future is suck.
What is your plan?
You better suck bad enough.
It's
to suck. It is. They're in the middle of a process right now, their own version of the process. I just don't know if they really intended to be this deep in a process. I thought they assumed that they were going to be a scrappy team. I think they were like, oh, we're in the East. If
playing,
we got Kuzma, if we got Poole, we got Tyus Jones, who people like as a fringe starter. Mm-hmm. I think that they probably thought they could be like the Chicago Bulls and just kind of be a 12-11 seed and be scrappy, but at the end of the day, do what they need to do and secure a lottery pick. But
the last 6 years, the Wizards have drafted 15th, 9th, 9th, 15th, 10th, and 8th.
Purgatory.
That sounds like the Raiders.
That's purgatory.
That sounds like the Raiders.
Yeah. And the Panthers.
And
yes.
the Kings.
Pretty much. Yeah. And the Knicks.
Well, Kings got a couple lotteries mixed in there.
Well, they
got lucky.
Yeah, they won. The Wizards just didn't win the lottery. Also, I'm looking at the players they picked.
Yeah, can you go down that list?
Okay, so should I go most recent or oldest to newest?
Most recent.
Okay, so they had the 8 pick, but they traded up one spot to take Bilal Coulibaly.
Seems pretty good, actually. Mm-hmm.
Coulibaly is how you pronounce it, mm-hmm. according to the media guide. 10th pick, 2022, Johnny Davis.
Shout out Johnny Davis, Mr. Taco Bell. Can't get on the floor. Terrible.
Oh, my God, that's right. He was in those weird Taco Bell commercials.
That's right.
Oh, my God, that's a deep cut.
We need the Snoop Dogg who? We need the Snoop Dogg who meme for some of these guys.
Oh, I forgot about the Johnny Davis commercial.
It
Anyways,
was really bad.
2021, 15th pick, Corey Kispert.
Okay. I mean, yeah. There's, 15, you know, he's an NBA player.
I think you can say that for all of these. Yeah. 2021, 9th pick, Denny Advia.
That was my guy. That was my guy.
Yeah. Like, that's played, not a bad pick.
Been cooking
it's not a great
he's played
pick.
Every game of his career.
That's something.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
2019, Rui Hachimura, 9th pick.
Ugh. See ya.
Yeah.
They actually.
That one's tough.
Yeah.
Those are all players.
Right.
Not all of them, but most of them players.
And then 2018, Troy Brown.
Oof.
15th pick.
Oof.
Look, that's bad. And then you look up, you know, 6 years later, and all you have is Bradley Beal to
right,
show
and
for,
that's what which, I was going to Yeah, the free agents, it's not like their free agent
they
list
basically,
is.
Free agent list got them Porzingis because they traded Dinwiddie and Bertans, and those are both free agent signings.
Yep. On the sack chat from Jack, what's funny is the Wizards have championship experience with Kuzma and Poole. We got two champions coming.
That's crazy.
We have two champions coming. What could go wrong?
Wow.
Yeah. You know?
Not wrong.
They definitely didn't think they would be this bad.
No,
they thought they were going
no
to be a play-in
no.
team.
Yeah. They,
for sure.
I don't know about play-in team, but they...
In the
they
East?
They'd be close, I think. But in the East?
I don't think they thought they were 4-21. And the
22. Put some respect on their name. 4-22.
Put some respect on their L's.
Yeah, that's a good point. They've actually been kind of unlucky in some of these games this year, but they didn't think they'd be this bad. But they'll be better off for it in the long run.
I'm looking at the Eastern Conference now. The surprise, the Magic are the surprise. They're 16-9. The Cavs, I think, are going backwards.
They sure are.
So, yeah, I guess you're right. Maybe they thought, fringe play-in.
They thought they would win 35 games this year. Yeah. That's not going to happen.
Definitely not.
They definitely not.
Might not win 20.
Yeah. All right. Got to get to a break. When we get back, how important are the next three games? Celtics, Suns, T-Wolves. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.